Hebrews chapter 5, as I said in my introduction, it'll be a few moments before I get there, but I'm going to begin a new series today on a track that God has laid in my life and I have seen in other leaders' life within Victory Life, and I'm calling it a spiritual growth track, a spiritual growth track, and I believe this is vital to us as a corporate body, and not only here at this location in Durant, but our other seven locations, it's important that they know that there is a spiritual growth track and that anyone who commits to that growth track will experience maturity. We can evolve, thank you, Jesus, from immaturity as a Christian to maturity, and there's a specific track. There is a path that God has laid down that if we commit to that path, we will grow up into Him in all things. And so that's what I'm going to be sharing on. And I, again, think this is going to not only be important for us here and our other locations, but I am asked often to minister on church growth. And that's not one of my favorite subjects or that I'm really comfortable with. I never set out to grow a church or grow churches. I set out to grow people's lives. And I discovered if we'll grow people, we'll grow healthy churches. Amen? And so this is going to be vital and very, very important. So let's talk about how we enter the kingdom of God and how that we're in an immature state and that that's okay when you first get converted, when you become a convert, when you become a new believer. But God's plan from there is maturity in our lives, is spiritual growth. There are many things that God has for you and for you alone, and you as an individual. And I thank God for His plan for my life and Him working in my individual life and Him putting me on a path and a track of His will for my life and His predestination for my life. Because God's plan and God's will for us individually has to be unearthed. It has to be discovered. You've got to find God's plan for you individually. And that's important. And as a church, we help you with that. But God also has a plan for us corporately, for us as a body, as the body of Christ. And that plan is transformation. It is spiritual development in our lives. You know, I want to always be giving you information, and when you come to church, when you assemble together, I want to always make sure I'm bringing you information concerning the kingdom of God. But it's not information that God's looking for or desiring to necessarily get to you. He's looking for transformation. And we need to make sure all information is leading to transformation, or we're not on the path that God wills for us to be on. Again, we all enter the kingdom of God the same way, and we all come into the kingdom of God the same way and in the same condition, a spiritual babe. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." He cannot see, he cannot understand, he cannot perceive God's kingdom till he gets born again. And being born again is a spiritual rebirth. And it's just like being born in the natural, but it's supernatural. And no one is born naturally an adult. Can I get a witness? Nobody's born full grown. No one's born mature. We're all born immature. We're all born as babes, and then we develop, we grow. And that is God's plan for you naturally, and it's God's plan for us all spiritually. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, another passage that speaks of spiritual growth and even immaturity, it says that as newborn babes, notice it calls us babes, as newborn babes, when we're born again, we're born again babes. Desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that you may grow thereby. So when we're born again, when we become a convert, we're immature in the things of God. We are spiritual babes in God's world, in God's kingdom. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, the scriptures say that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So see, God's will is that we... God's will is that we no longer be children. It's okay to be a child when you're born. It's okay to have a season of being a child and a babe. But God's will is that we be no more children tossed to and fro, but that we grow up into him in all things. There's no exception to that rule. God doesn't want spiritual giants among us and those that are not so. He wants every one of us to grow up, every one of us to mature in the kingdom of God. I did a teaching years ago, and I'm not going to go there, on symptoms of immaturity. I've taught over a 30-year period, I've taught that message twice on spiritual immaturity, and I upset more people in sharing on spiritual immaturity than any other thing I've ever shared. And what I discovered in that is a lot of people have deceived themselves and they think they're spiritually mature. And when you show them what the Bible calls spiritual immaturity, they prove they're immature. They get upset. You ever tried to deal with a child? Anybody besides me have had kids? And one of the things that happens with babies is when you try to correct them and you try to adjust them in any way, they get upset. That's a symptom of immaturity. A symptom of immaturity is being tossed to and fro. You don't have any roots in your life. You don't know how to be established and committed. A sign of immaturity is a lack of commitment. That's a sign of immaturity. And that's okay when you're a babe. It's okay to have all these different symptoms of childhood when you're a child. But you don't want to be, and God doesn't want you to be a child forever. Amen. One of the things I feared about pastoring, and the reason I didn't want to pastor, is I had this mindset that pastoring would lock me in to overseeing a spiritual nursery for my entire life. And I didn't want to oversee a nursery my whole life. I had never been exposed to a church that had mature believers in it. I had never been in a system where they were committed to growth, where they were committed to discipling people, where they were committed to covenant and a track and a path of maturity, where there were many mature believers that were helping the immature even transition from immaturity to maturity. I'd never seen that. I thought being a part of a church was being a part of fussing and fighting and division and gossip and just nothing but bad stuff. Immaturity, what babies do. And I'm telling you, it has been such a delight to pastor and not only see maturity in this house and mature believers developed and brought up, but to see it in the other campuses and to see it in other areas. Man, it is a delight. Isn't it a delight when your kids grow up? It's a delight. I delight in, and have no greater joy than to see God's children walk in truth. To see God's children develop and grow. I loved my kids dearly, and I loved parenting, and I loved having them when they were children, but I loved also seeing them change. I loved also seeing them get it. I loved also seeing them grow. I loved also seeing them leave. Can I get a witness? Man, I had no idea what it was like not having children till they were all gone, and the change. It is awesome how that there's food in the house on a regular basis. Am I the only one as a parent that you go out to eat and you spend all this money on this food and so you get a to-go box, man, and you don't throw anything away and you put it in the to-go box, you go home, you put it in the refrigerator, you go to bed knowing you're going to wake up about midnight or 1 o'clock hungry and it'll be there. And you get up and you make your way to the refrigerator, open the door, and that box has been raptured. It has disappeared supernaturally. I didn't realize how prosperous Sue and I were till the kids left. We got plenty of food now. We had plenty of time for each other. Man, kids can sock you into poverty. Can I get a witness? It's a blessing, though, seeing them grow up and become responsible. See them grow up and have their own children and reap what they have sowed. That's a blessing. Can I get a witness? It is such a joy. Church culture is no different. We'll always have the immature among us. We'll always have babes among us because we should all be witnessing and we should all be sharing Jesus. And so there's new people coming into the kingdom constantly. So we'll always have immaturity among us. We'll always have babes among us, but we need mature people to reach out to the immature people and get them on a track of growth, get them on a track of spiritual development where they can grow out of immaturity and be mature believers for Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to be conscious to make converts, yes, but we need to make disciples, disciplined followers of Jesus. That's a part of what a healthy culture in a church is yes, we're getting people saved constantly and new converts, but we have to make disciples even of the nations. Let's look at Hebrews here, chapter 5. Look at verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Both good and evil. We have two stages there. We have a babe stage and a full age stage. And there are symptoms to the babe stage and symptoms to the full age stage. One of the ways you know you're a babe is you just get dull of hearing. Anybody that's raised kids knows what I'm talking about. They can become dull of hearing. They're seeing your lips move, but they're not getting it. The light's not going off, and they even get an attitude about hearing it again. When they really hear it, they can't hear it too much after they really hear it, but if they're immature and they don't transition from immaturity, they get dull of hearing. I can't tell how many entire church bodies are dull of hearing. They're not paying attention. They're not hungry for the things of God. They're not seeking wisdom. And that's a bad position to be in. And you can find yourself in immaturity in that kind of a place. But when maturity kicks into your life, when you get on the path and the track of spiritual growth, you can't hear enough. You can't hear it too many times, and you hunger for the things of God on a habitual basis. That's a sign and a symptom of maturity in our lives. Notice that the babe, the immature believer, is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Unskillful in the word of righteousness. A symptom and a sign of, and I said I wasn't going to teach on the symptoms of immaturity, but I'm just referring to them. I'm not teaching. But a symptom and a sign of immaturity is, listen, you hear the word, but you don't know how to apply the word. You don't know how to properly apply it in the love of God. You don't know how to walk it out. And we're going to deal with some of those things. I'm going to share some things that I've shared on, but I'm going to share it from a different angle and perspective and a new application for us as a corporate body and for all of our locations. And so I'm going to need your attention, even though some things are going to be familiar and I've taught on them. Again, I'm going to not reteach what I've taught. I'm going to recommend you go over those again, but share what I didn't share in those other teachings concerning this growth track, concerning becoming mature. Here's a symptom of maturity, and now you'll instantly see how many immature people still are in churches, and many have been in churches for 40 years. A sign of maturity, according to the scriptures, is strong meat belongeth to those who are of full age, who have their senses exercised, their emotions exercised, their five senses, what they see, what they feel, what they hear, etc., etc., have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. A mature believer knows what's good and knows what's evil. Knows what's God and knows what's the devil. Knows what's right. Yeah, come on, go ahead. Let's do it. Let's do it right. You need to do that in the locations. This is how you know you're growing. This is how you know you're on the right path. You're on the right track of spiritual growth, is you can tell as you walk with Jesus that you begin to see what you used to think was good is not good at all. And what you used to think was bad is not necessarily bad at all. Amen. Anybody got any kids and they don't have any discernment? And it's a part of immaturity, and that's okay when they're immature, but it was my responsibility as a parent to put them on a path of maturity and to discipline them, correct them, teach them, feed them, explain to them that not everything that looks good is good, and not everything that looks bad is bad. Especially the girls. I constantly having to tell them, you can't take candy from everybody. Now, Carl, the candy man Carl, is okay. But we even screen test him on a regular basis. And our girls especially were so trusting of everybody, and we'd have to tell them, you can't get in a car with a stranger. They grew up, and we only exposed them to good people. The rest of them and the rest of you, we kept them from you. And so, oh, come on. Don't get mad at me for that. But they thought everybody was a Christian. They thought everybody was kind. They thought everybody was nice. And that you can just get in a car with anybody, and you can just go anywhere with anybody. And so, that's a sign of immaturity. You have no discernment of good and evil. Man, today, like I believe, never before is eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of eating of the tree of life, the tree of eternal life. There were two trees in the garden, and there was more to those two trees than just choice, though choice was the primary purpose of the two trees, a decision to live with God and from God or apart from God. There had to be a choice. And so there was a choice presented so that you would have a free will, because love has to come out of a free will or it's not love at all. And that was the primary purpose. But listen, man, when he doesn't choose life, when he doesn't choose God, when he doesn't choose dependency upon God, he eats of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, man without God says what is good, and man without God says what is evil. Welcome to the path of destruction. Welcome to the path of despair. You without God determining what's moral and immoral. You without God and a love for God and an ability to hear God trying to decide what is good, what is evil, what is moral, what is immoral. And man, today you can see it. He eats of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he says what is good is outright evil and wickedness and perversion. And man today says what is bad and evil and dark calls it light. What is immoral, he calls moral and just. What is moral, he calls immoral and unjust. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And even as a Christian, when you first get born again, listen, you are a spiritual babe, and it takes you time to develop. But as you walk with God, you discover what you've heard all your life is a lie. You begin to grow and you begin to mature and you go, you know what? That's not good. That's very bad. And you know what? That's not bad. That's very good. Amen or amen. Now you know where most Christians are. Now you know where most churches are. We've got entire bodies of believers that don't even know what moral and immoral is, what righteous and unrighteous is. Are they saved? Most of them are, but they're babes. They're spiritual babes. They've never got on the track of spiritual maturity. They've not exercised their senses. They've not developed their spirit where they can hear God, and they've not exalted the word of God and the authority of God's. I'm going to tell you what a mature believer is. A maturity believer is somebody who says, let God be true and every man a liar. There's only a handful of us in the entire nation, it appears at this time, that have exalted this as final authority. I don't care what psychiatrists say. I don't care what religion says. I don't care what mom and daddy said. I love my mom and daddy, but if God says it's up, it is up. If God says it's down, it be down. Yeah, but I don't understand. I know. Let's grow up. Yeah, but that doesn't make sense to me. I know you haven't had your senses exercised. You see why people got upset at me years ago. I'll back up here. Let's everybody say, I love my former pastor. No, we have to understand there is a path, and it is a path of life. And we need to learn individually how to get on that path and stay on that path. And as a body, how do we, with excellence, how do we, in a loving environment, help people get on the path of spiritual growth and stay on that path? I got saved in 1965. I give my heart to Jesus in 1965. I have such a hunger for God that at 9 years of age, and I don't want to tell all my stories. I said last night, I'm feeling like an old person. I'm telling too many of the same stories. Oh, only the old people got mad about that. Let it go. You've been around old people. You just same story over and over. I don't want to go there. So I'm not going to tell this in detail. But how can I get saved in 1965? How can I, at 9 years of age, pack a bag and I'm leaving home to preach the gospel? How can I, at 12 and 13, be so hungry for God that I pray at an altar for so many hours that I literally pass out praying? How can I have such a heart for God that I'm standing under what we called a pole barn back then, and talking to my dad and saying, Dad, can I go to church every day? Can we find a church? I don't care what church it is. And can I go to a church, any church, every single day and have your own father look at you and say, are you okay? Are you okay? And then how can I, with that kind of heart, that kind of desire, by 1980, if I'd have been arrested for being a Christian, I could not have been convicted in a court of law with evidence of being a Christian. How can that happen? I literally tremble when I say these things. There's a holy fear on the inside of me. How can I be that hungry? How can I be that aggressive towards seeking God? And yet by 1980, within 15 years, you can't tell I'm a Christian. There's no evidence in my life. There's no symptoms. There's no signs. And then I have that vision, and from 1980 till now, God put me on a track, a different track. God put me on a path, a specific path. And I guarantee if I get arrested today, I'll be found guilty in seconds of being a Jesus freak. Hallelujah. Something changed. It wasn't my heart. It wasn't God. Something changed. And I'm going to tell you what changed, and I'm going to teach it for the next few weeks. I got on a track of spiritual growth. I went from being a convert and failing miserably to being a disciple of Jesus Christ, a disciplined follower. I began to get on a track and a path where there were people in my life that taught me, and there were people in my life that corrected me, and there were people in my life that helped me get on that track and stay on that track. Let me go over some scriptures here with you real quick about a path that God has laid for us. Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. God has committed to me, and God has committed to you to show us the path of life. There's a beaded path that the saints have already traveled that is a path in a jungle, in a world that is a jungle, that we can have God show us that path and we can get on that path. He says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I needed God to show me the path, but then I needed help concerning traveling that path. In Psalms chapter 27, verse 11, teach me. Everybody say teach. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. See, when you come into the kingdom and you get born again, it doesn't mean you don't have any enemies anymore. There are enemies that war against our soul, our mind. There are enemies that are constantly trying to get us off of the path of life, trying to discourage us in walking and staying on the path of life. If you take a notes, write down Psalms 25. It's not in the notes that we prepared for you. Listen at Psalms 25, verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Show me thy ways. You do have it. Thank you, media department. I take back that negative confession. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. See, I didn't have anybody to teach me the paths of God. Teach me that there are certain tracks that are spiritual tracks, that if you get on that track and you learn how to travel that track, you're gonna mature. You're gonna grow. Proverbs chapter 4 speaks of the same thing. Enter not into the path of the wicked. See, before we got saved, we were on a path. We were on a trail, a path of wickedness. He said, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Man, what a horrible path to be on, that the only joy you have is hurting other people. The only solace and peace you get and you can sleep is when you've done something evil or mean to somebody. Man, I thank God I'm not on that path any longer. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just, the path, the track, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not what they stumble. Man, when you're on that path of darkness and I was on it and you were on it before Christ, you didn't even know what you were stumbling over, but you just stumbled and stumbled and on and on it went. But see, the path of the just is as a shining light that gets brighter and brighter as we head to the perfect day. There is a path, dear ones, that God wants to put you on, that he's wanting to put me on and keep me on, and that he wants to put us as a body on, that things will get clearer every day. It'll get brighter every day. You'll get more understanding, and that understanding prepares you for more understanding, and on I can go with how the path gets brighter and brighter, clearer and clearer, as we learn how to get on the path of life and stay on the path of life. See, I didn't have anybody to teach me there even was a path of life. But how do I stay on that path of life? And listen, on the path of life, we fail and fall. I needed somebody to teach me how to get back up. Because everybody falls on the path. Everybody trips. Everybody stumbles on the path of life too. But you have to learn to get back up. No one taught me. I didn't have anybody to teach me that when I did a piece of stupid and took an off ramp, there's an on ramp to get back on it. And that you can get back on the path of life when you've taken an exit ramp. Nobody taught me ramp rage. I didn't know there was ramp rage out there, that many believers will knock you off the path. And that you got to deal with ramp rage. That'll hit the rest of you later, hallelujah. I could go on and go on and go on with the need I had of mature people helping me in my immaturity. We've got a bunch of immature people at large confirming one another's immaturity. Amen. And establishing one another's immaturity. Instead of having mature people that have been on the path and it's gotten clearer and clearer and clearer and they've learned how to get up when they fall, they've learned, yeah, I'm humble, I took an off ramp, but I got back on. There are more on ramps than off ramps. And yeah, there's been believer after believer that's knocked me off of the path with their immaturity. But I knew how to deal with ramp rage and stay on that path. Look at that same Proverb chapter 4, verse 24 through 27. He talks about pondering our path. He says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Come on, guys. Verse 26, ponder the path. You have to ponder this path. And as a church, that's what we've been doing for years, is we've been pondering the path that God put us on, most of us 25 years ago, and what it's produced in our life. And we've pondered the path on how do we get more people on the path. Because watch this, ponder the path of your feet and let all thy ways be established. What we are about to transition into as a body, as a family, as people that are the real deal. I'm not talking about perfect people. I'm talking about people, though, that are a family, that we're committed to this thing, and we're walking with Jesus, and we're walking with one another. We have pondered the path and have refined the path that I believe we'll see more people now established in the path that is the path of life and in the spiritual growth that comes out of that path of life, that path of life. Well, let's talk about it now in Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 2 because there is a track that if we get on it, we will grow. We will mature. And I believe that we're transitioning into establishing that path where we can get more people on it and we can transition people from the path of destruction to the path of life. Because again, if we're going to see more locations, if we're going to help more churches even to be healthy and to grow with healthy growth, we need to be able to communicate this path better. We need to be able to establish this path better so that we can help other people even more. Does that make sense to some of you at least? Because there's a distinct path that God put me on that changed my life. And there's a distinct path that I put the leaders of this church on 25 years ago. And everybody that has been on this path has grown and matured, everybody without exception. And without exception, those that are immature, they've not committed to the path. They've not committed to the spiritual growth track. And that's not to condemn them. I'm committed to you whether you mature or you immature. Amen. I'm committed to people whether they grow up or they never grow up. We have a lot of what I call zigzag Christians. They can't stay on the straight and narrow. They zigzag. They fall off into this ditch for a while. They'll get back up on the path. Then they fall into this ditch this way. And they just sort of cross the ditch their whole life. I love them. I'm for them. Amen. They're just dumb. Amen. But God loves you, dummy. And I love you. And some people, they just don't want to grow. And listen, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but that was a shocker to me. I thought everybody wanted to grow, and I thought every church wanted to grow. I didn't know there are people that are comfortable pooping in their pants and crying all day. That shocked me. I would have thought you'd get tired of that after a while. But there's a lot of people do not want to grow up, and we got to love those people, and we got to minister to those people, and we don't want to condemn those people. But man, I want the majority of you to grow out of that. Can I get a witness? I just want to come to church and it smell better. Oh, come on, that was good. Here's the track God put me on years ago. Here's the track that we have seen leaders on, and it's worked. And I'm going to share this. I've shared it in the past, but I'm going to share it and apply it a lot different than I've done in the past. It's the day of Pentecost. And with many other words did they testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them, the them are the 120 that just got filled with the Holy Spirit in the upper room. One of the them was the mother of Jesus, Mary. And the 120 was added to them about 3,000 souls. And they, the 3,120, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And look at what happened. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. I wasn't a freak. I wasn't weird wanting to go to church every day. I wasn't weird wanting to be around Christians and fellowship every day. Do you realize even to this day, many of our family members, if you was to do what I did when I was 13 or 12, right around that age, and ask my dad, could I go to church every day? Do you realize how many of your own family would persecute you if you said, I just want to be in church and I want to be in fellowship with saints every day? Do you realize how much of a freak you would be to so-called Christian people? And yet it's right there in the Bible. It's in the B-I-B-L-E. They continue daily. Everybody say daily. Not just on Sunday. They continue daily with one accord. They learned how to walk in unity, in one accord, in the temple. And breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with singleness and gladness, or gladness of heart and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Watch this. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. One of the greatest church growth programs is us getting our act together. Thank you. I know that was a difficult thing to have to do, and I appreciate it very much. They got in the apostles' doctrine. They understood the power of fellowship. They understood the power of covenant and communion, and how to pray and what to pray and when to pray. And it caused such a move and stirring that God added to the church daily such as should be saved. I believe God wants to add to the church daily such as should be saved when we continue steadfastly in that track. That is the spiritual growth track that God put me on. That is what began to facilitate growth in my personal life. And that is what we've done that's produced the growth that we've seen up to this point. Again, I've taught these in the past, so I'm going to hit it from a whole different angle. I want to recommend some CDs. Because eventually there will be a growth track that people will have to listen to those CDs in order to understand what I'm saying now. You've heard me teach. You've heard Pastor Lee teach these even recently. And so I have a series called Four Spiritual Food Groups. Four Spiritual Food Groups. And I go into detail on these four and how we feed on these four. I'm not going to teach that again. The second thing I want to recommend, and that eventually people will have to go through, is the spiritual development series. That's the series where I deal with immaturity and maturity, and I'm not mature enough to deal with it again. Because it offends people. It upsets people. But man, there's nothing wrong. There are still things in my life to this day that I go through, and the first thing I hear the Holy Ghost say to me is, that is a sign of immaturity still in my heart. There's some things in my life that are still symptoms and residues of immaturity. Now, my maturity outweighs this day my immaturity, but there are things I'm still growing in. How about you? So I don't mean it to be mean or critical or offensive in any way, but man, there's a lot of immaturity that we need to be honest about and deal with. So the first one is the apostles' doctrine. The apostles' teachings. The word doctrine just means teachings. So if you're going to mature, if you're going to grow, you're going to have to learn to feed on God's word daily. I'm not talking about legalism, and I'll deal with this, but you need a discipline in your life to make sure you're feeding on God's word daily. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of my mouth, or out of the mouth of God. God's word is food to our inner man, and you don't eat once a week. I can tell by looking at you. Thank you, brother. No, we eat daily. You have to get on some kind of diet. It may be a devotional that's only 3 to 5 minutes, but you're in the Word and you're exposing your heart to the Word of God on a habitual basis. We all learn differently. We all have different personalities. And so some people, it helps to read a chapter a day. Other people, they do better just studying, or audio learners versus video learners. Visual, so they ought to hear it. So the CDs are awesome in their lives. So the bottom line is, you're not going to grow without a habitual diet of God's Word. And as a church, and as different locations, we have to get better at putting people on some type of track where we're helping them feed on the Word of God on a regular basis. Number two, fellowship. And this is where you lose a lot of people. Fellowship. It's not enough just to be in the Word of God and you and Jesus have your own thing going. Jesus and individuals have their own thing going, and true spirituality and true spiritual growth never takes place in a vacuum. It is not God's will for you to get in the Bible and get on the backside of the desert and not have fellowship. Fellowship is where you figure out you're not reading it quite right. Fellowship is where you, for the first time, get to hear what you think the Word is saying and hear how dumb it sounds. Amen. Fellowship is where we work it out. We walk it out. What is Jesus really saying to you? Because you're really not feeding on the Word till you get to the point, and I'll teach this probably next week. You got to know, what does it really say? What does it mean? And how does it apply to my life? You've not gotten in the Word and gotten the Word in you till you take it off of these pages, get it in your heart, and now share it in the gift of life. And that's what fellowship does. And a lot of people never get on that track. They never quite get in a place where they're fellowshipping with fellow believers. And that is a part of the spiritual growth track, is you have to learn to share what Jesus is doing in you. You've got to learn to share and to communicate that life, because that's what multiplies it on the inside of you. It is amazing the difference that fellowship made in my life. Finding some people I could talk to and talk with about what I think this is saying. That is powerful in your life. And it'll produce maturity in your life. Because you're going to have conflict in fellowship. You're going to have disagreement in fellowship. You're going to have to rethink what you thought it said in fellowship. Rethink what you thought it meant. It will force, fellowship will force spiritual growth on your life. Number three is the breaking of bread. And we can't mature. We can't grow if we don't understand the sacrament of communion and covenant. The people who mature, the churches that mature and make a difference in their community, are churches that understand two things. Watch this. Vertical covenant with God. I cannot stay on this path of life if I don't know my covenant with God. And that God loves me unconditionally. And that God will be merciful. Hebrews chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 10. God will be merciful to my unrighteousness. And my sins and iniquities He will remember no more. I can't even stay on this track. I can't get up when I fall. I can't get back on when I take an exit ramp. If I don't know God's love for me and the covenant that He will never stop loving me. And He will never leave or forsake me even unto the ends of this world. Wow. That was the first step in maturity and in development. Watch this. But the big step in my life wasn't just covenant vertical, but it was covenant horizontal. Once I found a family, once I found the very thing I resisted, I didn't want a pastor, and I had bad attitudes about church. The very thing I was resisting was locking me out of a path of spiritual growth. Because the day I made the covenant, not just with God to do His will, but covenant with men, that we are going to walk this out. We are family and we're going to work it out. We are not going to be a party to a church split. We are not going to dishonor spiritual authority any longer. We are not going to be protesters forever. My God, we've been protesting since Martin Luther. That'll hit some of you later. That won't even hit all of you later. But it's like the church has been in a constant mood of protest, protest, protest. Instead of unity, instead of covenant, instead of getting married, getting planted, getting established. I'm telling you, the spiritual people, the people that are growing and maturing and making a difference in their world are people that are in covenant with God. But listen, they're in covenant with the family of God. They've got roots planted and they are committed. And I'm not condemning anybody for a lack of commitment. I'm saying if you're going to grow, though, you've got to get married. Sue and I have grown in our relationship because of covenant. If divorce would have been an option, we wouldn't have matured. We wouldn't have grown in our relationship. Amen. I don't know if you figured it out yet, but I'm still here. I made a commitment. I made one. It took me a while to make it. But when I, and why did it take me a while? Because I knew if I commit, unless God Almighty speaks to me in an overwhelming, audible voice, and there are multiple witnesses, I'm going to spend the rest of my life not only in covenant with God, but I commit to you to love you unconditionally and to walk out and to work out the things of God in our lives. I commit not to divorce you when I disagree with you. I commit that I'll be here next week. That produced maturity in me. And there were other men that made those covenant commitments. We broke bread. We broke bread. We struck covenant. Man, that's powerful. And anybody who starts really committing to a family, there's something about family that produces growth, and the struggles of family have a purpose in our life. Man, everybody struggles with family, but man, family produces growth. And then the last one, and it's the most important one in the sense of it makes all three work, is prayers. Prayers. We're not going to mature and we're not going to grow if we don't understand prayer and the power of prayer, because watch this. What makes everything work in the kingdom of God is the Holy Ghost, the person of the Holy Ghost. God gave us a Holy Ghost. Why did God give us a Holy Ghost? Because we got to hear God daily. Because we can't just have a bunch of principles and a bunch of rules and some track even that we're just going to make everybody get on, and we're going to force that to produce maturity in your life. No, we're going to get on spiritual track, and we're going to get on a path of life, and we're going to do exactly what we think God is saying, and it ain't going to work. And so we got to pray. And then we're going to do it, and it's going to work, and then quit, and then we got to pray. And then we're going to commit to certain things and fail, and so we got to pray. You're not going to mature, and I'm not saying that to be mean. You're not going to develop. You're not going to grow until you learn the power of prayer, till you know what it means to pray, and that it's about relationship with God, and that if we're not communicating with God and the Holy Ghost isn't communicating with us, it's just a bunch of religion. It's just a bunch of laws and legalism. It's the Holy Ghost that makes it all work. It's the Holy Ghost, the person of the Holy Ghost, in which He's communicating with us. He's leading us. He's guiding us. He's showing us. And we're taking a step and we're doing good. And then we take this kind of step and the Holy Ghost goes, "Hey, what are you doing?" And you go, "Nothing." That's the Holy Ghost. You know, we live in an hour where churches want all the effects of the Holy Ghost. They want all the life of the Holy Ghost. They want the music of the Holy Ghost. They want the fire of the Holy Ghost. They want the benefits of the Holy Ghost, but they don't want the Holy Ghost. We want the Holy Ghost, the divine communicator. The divine communicator. And we all have to learn to pray, and how to pray, and when to pray, and what to pray, in order to grow. And so that's the spiritual growth track. That's the growth track we're on. It's not four different tracks. It's one track. Apostles' doctrine, fellowship over the apostles' doctrine, break bread in covenant, and let's pray about this. And then it's the apostles' doctrine. We fellowship over the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teachings, and we break bread and have covenant one with another, and we pray. That is the spiritual growth track that I desire to get everyone on. I desire for us in all of our locations to create a loving environment that helps people get on that track and stay on that track, because they'll grow up if they track on that track. Amen? Amen. Amen. Were you blessed today? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Want to release all of our locations to the resident.
For additional free CDs or a catalog of all our teaching messages, please contact Dwayne Sheriff Ministries, Post Office Box 427, Durant, Oklahoma 74701, or call us at 580-920-1791. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.